Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Caught me by surprise there. We all good?
Yeah.
Bit warmer this week, isn't it? No? I'm going to say, it's a tough crowd this morning. How are we? Are we good?
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's wunderbar. Very good to see you. Do you know what? I was gonna start with a wee joke that I heard this week, but because you've cut me so deep over the last number of weeks, all right, with your lack of enthusiasm for it, I'm just not gonna bother. So all I'm gonna say is, no. There's no point in crawling back to me now, all right, and coming back with your oh, please tell me whenever you sit there stony faced, not a bit of humour amongst yous. And so all I'm gonna say is maybe next week you'll reconsider your attitude collectively. And maybe, just maybe, next week, I'll be able to share with you some funnies. How's that? I'm only joking you. I actually didn't hear any good ones this week. That's the problem. Well, I heard plenty, but none that you could repeat in the house of the Lord, because that would be terrible. That was a wee joke for all of you who think, oh my goodness, what's he talking about? Are you going to get your Bibles out? I found a talk that I did a number of weeks ago. And sorry, if you're joining us online, it's great to see you. We have got people from everywhere, like England and Australia and Canada and France and Holland and South Africa. And all, isn't that crazy? All join us. See how good I am at impressions. But listen, you're really, it's great to have you all. Join us online. Thank you for being part of what we're doing here. And just drop us a wee note there to say, yes, we're definitely listening. A few weeks ago, I preached and I said that the way to get through when things are really difficult, and one of the things that you can do to help yourself to establish yourself in grace is found in 1 Thessalonians. And through the lens of the law, it looks completely impossible. Remember I said about how you have to rejoice and give thanks to, you know, in every situation, in every circumstance. And you look through that and you go, completely impossible. Because my feelings are up and down like a fiddler's elbow. Right? Anybody? Okay, brilliant. So you all understand what that's like. One day, praise the Lord. In fact, not even one day, one morning, one hour. This is fantastic. All right, and then somebody says something, somebody does something, or just nobody does anything. Have you even found that? Just your own head can be enough at times. Anybody? Oh, brilliant. So I'm not actually going crazy. That's fantastic. And then it's like, give thanks. You must be joking. I'm totally depressed, in fear, anxious, or whatever it happens to be. So it's not even like we're just reacting and responding to the things around us. And remember I said that the key is this, lean into grace. What do we do then? Exchange, pray continually, and then give thanks. Declare your grace works well. Isn't that right? And what it showed me was that actually when we come to looking at the word and we come to looking at how we divide the word, it's really important. I just felt the Lord really impress upon me. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. How we divide the word of God properly. What does that mean? How you make sense of it and the lens through which you look at it. Because there will be things that you look at and the bits in us, you see, Jesus transformed you the moment that you accepted him. The moment that you said to the Lord, Lord, I can't do it my way. I want you to forgive me. I want to be born again into your family. In that moment, the word says you were transformed forever, perfected, in fact, forever. And so that's what, remember when I've talked about body, soul, and spirit, that's what happens in our spirit. That's what happens in the eternal part of us. And then we're working out the good of that every day. We're going deeper into the love of God. We're discovering more of his grace for us every day. And it's almost like it's being unveiled and unwrapped for us every day. And the more we keep turning into grace, exchanging our fear and anxiety and our worry, and from that place just going, oh, your grace works well, then I believe that you'll see more of God's grace working in your life. So I want to talk to you about that today, because what I realize again in this series is some of us may have heard some of this before, and some of us may have completely forgotten it. And some of us have gone, I'm not really sure whether I know this or not. How do we cooperate to work out grace in our lives? How do we cooperate with God in that? What do we do? Because here's what's interesting under grace. As soon as people who are in grace hear the word do, they go, that's the law. And actually, no, it's not. Doing in order to get is law. Doing because we have already received is faith. Do you see the difference? And we are called to live by faith. That means by persuasion. Remember what happens is in that moment of when we turn to grace and then we pray continually, we exchange the weight of our stuff for his. Remember faith? That's what actually happens. In there, we receive grace. The word is actually divine persuasion. In that connection with the Lord in those moments. And those moments can happen. I was out walking the dog this morning because, you know, I walk our dog every Sunday morning. And it's good. I get up and it's not good. I don't like the dog, but I have to do it because nobody else will. All right. And there's no point in telling you lies. All right. Anyone wants a dog, just talk to me afterwards. Or if you're online, I'm sure we can get the thing posted up to you. Now, here's the truth, right? But I was walking, and it's not even like these massive holy moments. And I'm not even joking. That was not a joke. All right. imagine Sophie's face if I said, Daddy's got a new home for Bella. Right? I think Daddy would be looking for a new home. But it's in those moments of divine persuasion. I receive faith in those moments. Right? What's going on is I'm receiving like the persuasion that God is good to his word, that grace is enough. And so therefore, from that place, not of desperation, but of faith and expectation, I say it. Why? Because in that place, I received it. Do you get that? So whenever you hear, because whenever we talk about doing, we do respond to the grace of God in our lives. The just will live by faith, and you receive faith in those moments when you lean into grace. And then from that place, like let me say it again, our response is not to get, our response is because we have already received. And so it's like almost now you've received, what are you going to do with it? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to show you that because in 2022, it's really, I honestly believe the Lord is saying this to us. I'm going to talk in a couple of weeks just about what I think the Lord's saying to us this year in exchange. But what I do think is that really it's, we get to decide the level of grace that we want to experience. I do believe that. I don't think that in any way, can I just tell you this morning, Jesus is not holding back from you in any way. He has not decided that you're not getting more than somebody else. What he said is everything that is mine is yours. Every single bit of it. And that's good news to some people. Every bit of healing, provision, hope, future. There is nothing in the heart of the Lord this morning which says, see you, because of this, you're just going to have to be, you know, you're just not going to get what everyone else gets. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie from the pit. And so what we need to understand is whenever the bits of us that still sometimes believe that's the way that this relationship works, we need to understand how the Holy Spirit's going to help us in those moments. What happens when you lean in is what I'm going to say. Does that make sense? I turn to grace. In that moment, my heart is connected with the Lord himself, and I'm taking all the weight and the worry, and I'm laying it down, and he's giving me faith in response, and that's what I'm going to live by. I'm going to declare it from this point. But what goes on in that moment? Right? And how are we going to do it? Does that make sense? So there's loads of scripture here for you. Remember I said last week that that there is a purpose for 2020. There's a purpose for your life. Exodus 9:16 said, for this purpose I have raised you up. That means you, Johnny. That means you, Penny. That means you, Ruth. That I may show you my power. I talked about this last week. And so that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. We're meant to be walking, talking, living examples of God's grace for people around us. We're meant to be fitter and healthier, more hopeful, full of joy. We're meant to be people who are blessed, not because aren't we cool, but it's because when people look at the dysfunction that we would normally exhibit in our lives when left to our own devices and they see supernatural favor, how else can they respond other than to go, Jesus is amazing, because if he can, look what he's done in you, you buck Egypt, right? Well, that's what I think it should be. That's what he says. I have raised you up, not so that you look fantastic, not so that it's all about you and your glory, but it's about my glory and my name and the grace of Jesus himself. And so that's what I want for you and for me in 2022. I want us to experience more of that, to see more of that, to walk in more of that. Whatever you've come from before, whatever your journey is, if you don't get up in the morning with an expectation that today and forward on are your best days, then stay in bed, because hope always calls you up. Grace always calls you up to go, yesterday is done. It's not coming back. Yesterday, whatever it was, your own mess, your own mistake, your own disappointment, leave it where it is, because I've given you grace for today. And then you wake up the next day and you say, I've got grace for when? 6 months from now? No, I've got grace for today. I've got favor for today. I've got anointing for today. I've got healing for today. And like Penny said, that's the thing of one foot in front of the other. It's not a drudgery. It's getting up every day and saying, today, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and say, I've got grace for whatever's coming my way. Lord, you've already walked before me into this day. You've already to put things in place. I might not see it, I might not understand it, but you have never ceased working for me. And so today, my declaration is, it's gonna work well for me. Amen? Brilliant. So that's what we're gonna talk about. Now then the problem is in John 16, verse 8, it says this, this same Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's gonna convict the world concerning sin. And so let me just tackle this. Conviction by definition is to prove, to declare guilty of an offense, to impress with a sense of guilt, and therefore to leave punishment as the result. Now, this, I believe, is one of the things that the Lord is going to lift from your shoulders and from your hearts and from your minds this year. This idea that condemnation is the result of conviction when we're under law. Now, what we need to understand is in these moments, we have to remind ourselves and commit ourselves to be people of grace who go, when I am connecting with the Lord, what's the Holy Spirit doing? He is not actually doing what it says in John 16, verse 8. You see, many of us have had the idea still, and I know because it's still in me, all right? There are still moments when something happens and there's something goes off in the back of my head and goes, that's because of. Anybody? Yeah. Let me.
Yeah, somebody's going, oh, no, it's definitely not that.
This is happening because, remember, and the remembering doesn't need to go like 10 years into the past. It just has to go 15 minutes into the past most of the time. And what happens is we go, Lord, I know that you love me. I hear your word of grace. But actually, when the rubber hits the road, when actually I'm connecting in here, how much of us is our genuine first heart response under grace? Thank you. I receive your persuasion and I'm going to declare it. Or is there still something in us that goes, I'm are you sure, Lord? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit actually does. In Hebrews 10, it says this. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us, right? Can I get a witness? Poof and all that, right? Sorry. For after he had said before, this is the covenant. I'm going to talk today about understand the covenant that you're in because the Holy Spirit only ministers the covenant of grace and the finished work of Jesus to you. He does not minister anything else. It says here, after he had said, this is the covenant, the agreement, if you like, that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my law into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, listen to me, their sin and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Hebrews 10, 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Let us lean into grace with a full, not a partial or a hopeful or a fingers crossed, but with an absolute conviction, not of sin, but of full of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. There is therefore, okay, now no condemnation. Condemnation is the declaration of guilt and the punishment that follows. That's what it means, okay? Katakrima in Greek. It not just means that you've done something bad. It means that you now need to be punished. Somebody's got to pay, and someone's going to pay for what you've done wrong. But it says here, there is none of that if you're in Jesus. You know, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the question that I really want to encourage you with or get you to think about is how is it possible that the Lord can convict you both of sin and of righteousness? Because that's what believers think today. Many believers still walk around, even under grace, going, there are still moments, because we were told it from such an early age. It was beat into us mostly to say that the Holy Spirit is your wicket keeper. He's your little person just to go near the Lord. Hey, careful. Steady now. All right? I'm watching you. Like some kind of malevolent Santa that sits all year round. No, we never did this with our kids, but it's like Santa's watching. I heard it before Christmas. It was something like, You know, Tinkerbell, you do that and Santa will not bring. And I was like, serious? I wanted to go to the woman and go, wise up. I don't know what her child wasn't called Tinkerbell, but it was something like that, right? B&M. I was just like, what's going on? I wanted to go, Tinkerbell, don't worry. Santa's not real. And also, there's somebody, I'm sorry to disappoint you there, all right? But also, there's somebody who just loves you all the time. So do you know what? You might be shoplifting, but don't worry. Just knock yourself out. I think Tinkerbell was filling her pockets full of sweeties. Santa's watching. I was like, knock yourself out, kid. You're doing all right. All right? That was a joke, right? So how do you divide the word? It's an absolute essential point for today. Because if we don't divide this well, we're going to struggle. Some of you may not know, there are about five central covenants in the Bible. We talk about law and grace, okay? But there's actually five central covenants, or six, depending on how you count them. It's the covenant of Noah, with Noah, Abraham, Israel, David, and the covenant of grace, the new covenant of God's love. And what we find in John 1:17 is that everything prior to the work of Jesus, okay, like originally God's plan was always grace, you know that? That's the covenant he made. You know, you'll be righteous through faith. It's the covenant he made with Abraham. And then people went, nah, we'll just chuck whatever you want, Lord, we'll do it. And that's where the law came from, the covenant with Israel. And it says in John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, listen to me. Grace and truth. You see, what we've been told is grace is fine, but make sure that you have enough truth mixed in with it. Because if you don't have enough truth, then you're in trouble. And what we've done is we've elevated the truth, what we think is truth, over God's grace. But the word is clear. Law is on one side. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor is the truth. And it comes together through Jesus. Now, this is really important for your moments where you're going to connect. Because the tapes that play in your head, the things that keep you under that conviction that the Lord is pointing out where you are always screwing it up, will keep you locked in sin and defeat and will never lead you to freedom, ever. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:6 that he has made you sufficient enough as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. The letter was what was written down. 613 things eventually became the law that Israel was living under. But it's not that, but it's of the spirit. Listen to me. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Any moment when you are working out what's on the inside of you, listen really carefully to this, right? There is absolutely nothing in the heart of God that wants to hurt you. Not one single jot or iota. Do you understand that? Not even a tiny bit of guilt. As human beings, we can't even understand that. I know when I run out of patience with my own kids, I try to guilt them at times, can I be honest? Now, if you don't, because in my humanness and in my frailty, sometimes I think, what else have I got? Is that shocking for you to hear? I wish, you know, I'm growing and I want it to be different. But sometimes in frustration or a lack of patience, what we'll do is we'll go at times, you know, this is not about me being super parent in the moment and trying to bring life to the situation. But in my own frailty and my own dysfunction, I realize that I don't do that. But that's not the way that the Lord loves you. Those moments of connection, of turning to grace, are always about you receiving life. God life, Zoe life. And in any moment where you are thinking about the Lord, talking to the Lord, and there's a sense of heaviness in your heart, can I just say, to me that points to law and not to the Spirit. Why? Because it's very clear. The Spirit, when you exchange, does not exchange weight and worry for making you feel even worse. The whole point is to, what did Jesus say? Come to me, let me take the burdens off you, and in that moment, receive my life. So what we need to understand is, see the Holy Spirit? This is where Jesus himself said, when he said, I'm going to go away, I'm going to leave you my Spirit, because when I leave you my Spirit, I just won't be with you, I'll be in you. So any moment of any day, any second, you know that he is praying over you and drawing you and giving you life and never doing anything but that. That's a powerful word. You're the minister of a new covenant. You're not the minister of the old covenant. The old covenant was, you know, the old covenant was I do and therefore I get. Depending what I do depends on what I get. And that's not what the Spirit ministers to you today. It's completely, actually, you're not even a minister of a mix of the two. The word says that any time we try to mix the law of performance with the unmerited favor of God, then law nullifies grace. If we want to work, the Lord says, you knock yourself out. That's what he did right back at Sinai. You want to do it? Go for it. But the moment where we surrender and we go, look, you know what? I'm going to exchange this kind of crappy thinking and instead and receive. The Lord's all over that. He goes, no. And at that point, you're receiving and being ministered to. Can I just say to you this? How can you encourage yourself with this? What I remind myself of is that it says in Hebrews 8:13 that, you know, if I live according to what I do and I bring that to the Lord, and even in my heart I still have this kind of, I'm doing this, Lord, and, you know, and the Lord just goes, like, forget it. Because actually God finds fault with that. See what the old covenant says in Hebrews 8:13? He says, in a new covenant, he made the first one obsolete. Do you know what obsolete means? No longer fit for purpose. So God himself is saying over you today, when you come to me, and if there's anything in you which is still doing a ready reckoner of what you've done and who you are and what it's about, that's not fit for purpose. It's not going to get the job done. You're not going to receive life that way. It says actually in Hebrews 8:7, for if the first covenant had been faultless, if there was nothing, you know, in itself wrong with the law to save you, then he wouldn't have had to send Jesus. Now, we're not antinomian. What does that mean? Sometimes people under grace are accused of going, we have no respect for the law. Jesus had the deepest respect for the law. He didn't come to do away with the law. He didn't go, the law's useless. He said that the law is unbending. And so under law, what we say is not that there, it's when it says about here being, you know, obsolete, simply it means that we could never do it. It was never going to save us. So Jesus is not anti-law. You need to understand that. Jesus actually fulfilled the law on our part. So under grace, what happens is, it's like, you know, that's why under grace we are equipped and empowered to live holy. Because if the law didn't matter, then when grace would come, you could live whatever way you wanted. Because sure, the law doesn't matter. No, what happens is, as you receive grace upon grace, it equips you to deal with what's in front of you and it equips you to live a holy life. So Jesus never was anti-law. Right? He simply pointed out that you're never, ever going to be able to keep it. It demands of you things that you will never be able to do. And it never bends. It never breaks. It never just gives you a little bit of leeway. It's completely and utterly unbending. And Jesus said, you'll never do it. So that's why it's obsolete. So why then do we still think, when the word is clear about the covenant that we're under, this covenant of grace, why do we still think that in those moments, that it's almost like, you know, if you think about it even logically, is God kind of schizophrenic here? Does he not know what he's written? Why in those moments do we still believe that the Spirit of the Lord himself would come to us and minister something which he has already said doesn't work to produce life? Do you get that? He doesn't do it. And we've got, some of us just, it says in Hosea 4:6, doesn't it, that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we need to have a knowledge of how the Lord works. And not just go, grace, grace, grace. Actually go, in these moments, I have learned personally over the years to go, whenever I feel a certain way, I know that's not the Lord. Do you get that? I go, that's not the Lord ministering life. That's my own conscience, that's condemnation, that's the enemy, that's whatever it happens to be. But I know now, having trained myself in grace, trained myself in how the Lord works, because it's there to go, you know, in these moments, Lord, I know that I will have truly connected with you when I walk away with life and encouragement and hope for that which I've brought you. If I walk away with anything less, then actually I need to again come back and say, Lord, it's about your grace alone. Because he doesn't minister anything other than Jesus and his grace for you. He doesn't point out anything. You know, and you kind of go, well, what about the things that are wrong with me? I'll come to those in a moment. But some of us need to rethink what's happening there. Some of us need to reprogram and retrain and realign ourselves to go, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me is a positive ministry. It is absolutely focused on Jesus. The ministry of self and law elevates you and what you're doing, how you're feeling and what you're bringing. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit will leave you in a place in those moments of being amazed at what he has done for you. When your heart and your mind is more captivated with what Jesus accomplished on the cross through his death and then his resurrection. What the promise of grace says that you can read through the word. And I know for myself, that is what genuinely, and that's going to be built in your moments every day. You can't just wait for Sunday folks to come or to tune in online or come here and just go, on a Sunday, I'll get my wee spiritual pick-me-up. When I was out walking that flipping dog this morning, right? You know, there's things go through your head, things go through your mind, and I'm going, Lord, I need to lean into grace right now as I'm walking along with a dog that I don't like, right? And all my feelings towards the dog. But I can still lean into grace in those moments. I'm getting it off my chest a wee bit. It's good. It feels better, cathartic, in fact. But walking along going, what does leaning into grace look like right now? And I just remind myself, well, this is what grace looks like over that situation. Oh, thank you, Lord, that that works well. And even in wee micro moments, you see, it's like, you know, the truth of it in the word is that, you know, we want the big victories. We see it, but the big victories are made up of 1,000 little small victories along the way. That's why the Lord said, put one foot in front of the other. Don't wait until you're facing your Goliath, folks, and then go, oh, Goliath just knocked my pan in. All right? Because actually what we see in the word is exchanging grace in the micro moments of every day, having our hearts turned to the Lord and to his grace on the wet Tuesdays when the rain's bashing off the windies and you've run out of money and you don't like your partner, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it happens to be, and you don't even like your job and you don't like your church, definitely don't like your pastor, and you're just in one of those kind of moods, right? You're laughing. Don't be laughing too hard, Dave McKenzie. You know, it's going, yes, I've been there, brother. Amen. All right. You know, those days. That's where we find grace. And the Holy Spirit is there in those moments to point you back to Jesus, to take the weight off, and for you to understand anything less than weight being taken and life being given is not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So even in those moments, I go, right, okay. There's still too much of me in here, so Lord, I'm just leaning into your love. And you understand what I mean? Because that's what he does. He doesn't minister the terms of a covenant that he says are no longer fit for purpose. That doesn't even make sense according to what we know. So is this okay? Are you learning something? You know, the law never saved anyone. That's the truth. I think that if we this year, you know, part of it needs to be that we need to know, because what the Holy Spirit will do in those moments, how does he reveal Jesus? All right, let me just get on to that. All right, well, what he does is he ministers the rights and the terms of Jesus's work for you. And it says that he will, in John 14:26, says the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and listen, and will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. That's a really important verse. Do you know, it's like, I've made a crack about, you know, devotionals and all that sort of stuff. You know, every other day with Jesus. Remember those famous notes? You remember those notes? Every couple of days with Jesus. I mean, that's what they should have been called. See, every day with Jesus. That was a lie. I mean, you used to, and then what, if you got a few days behind, what you would do is you'd quickly, you know, read, get back up to speed. You know what I mean? No? Oh, I did for sure. Oh no, I'm 3 days behind. The Lord's going to be waiting to hit me with a lightning bolt quickly. Let me just get up to speed quickly. You know, I used to sit in the toilet, I'm going to be honest with you, and just get them all up to speed. He goes like, flip the ass me back up to date. The Lord's happy with me again. Too much info. But there's the truth. But that's real life, right? Going, like, I can't go out today if I'm 4 days behind. Because honestly, I'm much more likely to get hit by a bus at this point. So Jesus, just give me a minute. There we go. Brilliant. Okay, I'm back up to speed. You know, every other day with Jesus. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to be those people, but the truth of it is, I really want to encourage you to think about what you're filling yourself with. Let me tell you something. There is no point in us howling at the moon like some kind of weirdos about what's going on. You know, that's not gonna bring you life, and it's not gonna help anybody else. All right, it's just not gonna work. As the world gets darker, the life of Christ in you will shine brighter. But don't fill yourself with darkness and expect to shine bright. That's the truth. And honestly, it's really in me to encourage you on this. I think it's not even in these days where we're hunkering down in some sort of mentality. It's simply what I got to put into myself. The word tells me that when the rubber hits the road, the Spirit of the Lord in those moments is going to exchange heaviness and weight for the truth of Jesus. I think many of us rely on those moments. It's a bit like what we used to do. Do you know what? I used to be fair, I didn't really like school, right? I got through, I went to university and all that kind of stuff, but school for me was kind of like a bit of a pain. I just didn't really, you know, it's just, my mother's nodding there in the front row going, right? And so I endured it, right? Anyone else? Truthfully, I hated it. That's the bottom line, right? And I used to pray. The most fervent prayers I ever did was just before exams, right? Where I would pray that the good Lord above would put into my head and my heart things that I had never seen in a textbook. Do you know what I mean? No, those prayers. Jesus, I promise you, I will go to the ends of the earth, Newton Ards and Lurgan and beyond. I promise you, I will serve you forever. If you could just supernaturally tell me right now what the sine x, cos x, tan x of that triangle is. If you could just drop that in, Lord, I swear to you, I will never, ever, ever do a bad thing ever again. Thank you, Jesus. Before every exam, praying like a champion. And guess what happens? Let's just say, maybe the Lord just didn't work the way that I was expecting him to, right? But it's kind of funny, isn't it? We kind of go, there ain't nothing there for him to work with. There's nothing there. It's like, and as much as he loves me, he's probably trying to teach me a lesson to go, here, growing up in maturity doesn't look like you simply get bailed out of everything where you just don't take responsibility. So what's responsibility look for you like in 2022? Not remember, you're not under the covenant if I'm doing this to get, but because he's done it, what's my response to it? Because what happens, see, in those moments of connection and exchange, praying continually, leaning into grace and receiving, what the Spirit will do will not minister your sin and your failure and your mistake. He will minister what Jesus has done. He will bring to your remembrance all the words that Jesus spoke. And so my question to you is, what does Jesus say about the situation that you are facing? You see, when Penny and I couldn't have kids, there's two things that will happen this year in the challenges that you face. It will either draw you closer to the God of grace so you can discover what grace says, or it'll lead to disappointment and frustration and push you away. That's what's going to happen. I've seen it 10,000 times over my Christian walk. When difficulty comes, it has one of those two impacts on people. Either, Lord, I want to know more, right? Or I'm so disappointed, I can't, just fed up with this thing. Sort it, I'll go do something else. It's generally, that's how it's going to break down. And so for Penny and I, when it came to the area of healing, what happened was when we were confronted in our lives with those moments where it was like, it's impossible. We can't do it, right? It's like, literally, what do we do? We've nowhere to turn. And so we lean into grace. And I actually didn't realize we were doing this at the time, but it's now looking back, we can see what the Lord was doing us. Lean into grace means, you know, we went to the Word. What does he say about being, what does grace say about sickness? Grace says that God is my healer. What does grace say about living in lack? Well, it says that he is my provider. What does grace say when I'm fearful and anxious? He says, I'm the God of hope who gives you hope and a future. And so what happened was there was something about us filling our heads and our hearts with the truth. And so in those moments where the rubber's hitting the road, I can honestly tell you that we found the comfort in the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he just started to remind us in those moments. Not, you know, of this is who I am, this is what I've done, this is what I minister. Now, our emotions didn't follow suit straight away. But the thing is, truth is truth. Truth is truth. Truth is an anchor. Truth is a safe place. Truth will keep you grounded. And at all the other times of going, my heart and my feelings might be somewhere else, the Lord kept bringing me back and bringing us back to, and this, and what we didn't, what I, in praying, it wasn't, oh Lord, please, please, please. It was, Lord, this is who you've said you are. Now we want to walk in it. Remember, when we keep our list of blessings longer than what we have need of, we move from desperation to authority. And from a place of authority, we declare your grace works well. And what happened was we had people who tried to encourage us by going, just say this, just say the Lord's my healer, just declare it. But it wasn't in here. Do you get that? It hadn't touched in here. We needed to go with the Lord, to spend time with the Lord, to, like Jesus did with his father. The pattern's already there in the word. He took himself away to a quiet place where he could pray continually. He could have his heart and all the stuff that he was carrying given to his father, who instead gave him faith instead. And what happens is grace is ministered to you by the Holy Spirit in that exchange, but he will bring it back to your remembrance. So think about that for yourself. Think about that for what this next week looks like. Think about the time that you spend. And I'm not guilting anyone. I'm just asking you to consider it for yourself. And then ask yourself in those moments, you know, like, am I just dependent on the Lord for the crisis moment? Like, he's just going to bail me out here? Or am I growing and learning? Because actually what happens is I spend time to read and to listen and to hear about what Jesus' work means. And I trust that in the moments where I need that, he's going to bring it back to me and show me what it actually means. Is that okay? The last thing I'm going to say today, is this all right? Are you enjoying this? I just think it's really important to know how the Holy Spirit ministers grace. Because it's still in all of us at times. It's still in all of us that he's bashing us. This exchange is actually about him first correcting before he gives. He doesn't do that. He ministers grace upon grace upon grace. Every single time. Why? Because it's the only thing that leads to people changing. The last thing I want to say is this. We know that the law is not for believers. That's basically what I'm saying. The covenant of, like, outside of Christ, the law, you know, like, we're not people who go universalism. Okay, so if you understand what universalism is, that's not us. Universalism just means that it doesn't matter what you do. At some point, everyone's going to be in heaven with God, right? So, because God is love. And so how could a loving God ever just reject people? But the word is clear. It's not that God is rejecting. He's asking you to choose. Because that's the ultimate expression of free will. You get to choose. And the thing is, we're not universalist under grace. Some people are, but quite frankly, they're wrong. Right? We choose as an act of our own will to receive grace into our lives. And so the law, actually, it's Jesus who redeems you from the law. Do you get that? He buys you back from it. Outside of that, you're still subject to the law and its penalty. Ooh. Maybe not a popular message today, but it's the truth of Scripture. That's the truth of Scripture. Otherwise, you wouldn't need Jesus. Just do whatever you want. Jesus is irrelevant. Oh, no. Jesus is great for your life. What, is some kind of like add-on? No, it's Jesus at the center and his work at the center, or it's nothing. So that's really important for me just to say that. But let me just give you something that I do, all right, whenever I go to the Word. Because I'm encouraging this week to go to the Word, to start to read. And something that I kind of discovered many years ago is basically a simple way to look at this is, see the Old Testament? That's all the bits from the beginning, Genesis and all that. It's pretty much, apart from when you read about Abraham, it's pretty much the Old Covenant, all right? Everything after the resurrection of Jesus, not everything from Matthew chapter 1, but the resurrection of Jesus on is the New Covenant of Grace. Really important. Because sometimes then, there's lots of times where Jesus actually helped people to go, if you want law, I'll amp it up for you. Right? And sometimes we look at the words of Jesus and we go, I could never do that. But when we look at it in context, he was actually going, if you want to live by the law, let me show you what that really looks like, but I've come to take you out of it. Okay, so that's where we need to understand where this covenant actually takes place. It's post the resurrection and everything that happens there. So I guess in one point, everything in the Old Testament is pointing towards this work of the cross and the resurrection, and everything in the new covenant of grace looks back through that lens. So you have this lens that sits over it all, and it's called the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So let's have a look at a verse and how, like I've already showed you in Thessalonians, haven't I? Like pray continually in all things, you know, rejoice, pray continually in all things, give thanks. Under law, that's a nightmare, right? Because can I ask this morning, who has prayed continually this morning? Probably for me to finish and get on with it, all right? Has everyone been giving thanks, rejoicing? No, well, you're stuffed. If you had one wee naughty thought this morning, even one, wee, anyone? Joseph? Absolutely, oh, hi. One wee tiny one, are you crazy? They're rampaging through my head right now, like a herd of buffalo. Right, well, we're all stuffed. James says you break one bit of it, you've broken it all. Oh, nightmare. It's like snakes and ladders. Back to one. Get so far. Oh, but I'm never going to get to the top because I'm always going to hit that wee snake. Hits me right down to the bottom. Do you know what I do? I look at verses like 1 Samuel 2, 6 and 7. I'll give you an idea. One, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You know this? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's what I do. And this is how I know then that I'm aligning with the Holy Spirit to allow him to minister grace into my life. All I do is put the work of the cross over that. And I look at it through the cross and I go, what does the cross tell me about what Jesus has done there? Okay? What does it look like then? Because it was a different way of dealing with God before the cross. God was angry with sin. God would punish you for your lack of performance. Now, when I put the cross over that verse, what does it tell me? What does it look like now? So whenever it goes, the Lord kills and makes life, he brings down to the grave and he brings up, he makes poor and he makes rich, he brings low. When I put the cross over that, what do I see? Well, the cross dealt with the reasons why the Lord would bring down and bring up. Do you understand? And so now I go, that doesn't apply to me as a new covenant believer. God's not angry with my sin anymore. God's not going to bring me low down to teach me anything. He's going to raise me up to the place where I see Jesus more. So what you need to do is when you read something, even in the old, is just put the cross over it and to say, what does that tell me about Jesus and his work? Because any time you see the requirement of the law in a verse of scripture, okay, what I remind myself of and what the Spirit of the Lord ministers to me is, but I did that for you. I did it for you. And I go, seriously? He goes, yeah, I did it for you. Don't worry about that, but I've done it. And then I have life. When I feel the demand, the Lord goes, I paid the demand for you. When I feel the weight, he says, I took the weight. When I see the requirements, he goes, but I did those. Why? Well, just put the cross over it. You know, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. This is a brilliant time of the year for people to be fasting, right? Not going to knock it, right? But we fast to get closer to the Lord. Frankly, the Lord never moved. Let's just think about it. At what point did the Lord move? The Lord went, flip me, it's January. Let's get ourselves out of the way here a wee bit. Because unless they fast, you know what I mean? Oh, it just helps you to be closer. No, it just makes you feel hungry. I was the worst faster in the world. If you want to fast, knock yourself out. What? The peppers in the tape. but we kind of go, hold on, let's just calm down a wee bit to go, oh, the fast of the whole okay. You're never going to get closer to the Lord by skipping lunch. Oh, well, I get so hungry, you see, it just turns my mind to Jesus. No, it turned my mind to sandwiches. I was like a rabid dog come Thursday. Holy, hearing God more clearly, are you bonkers? I would have ate my arm off. And then I felt disappointed by it. I remember people doing 40-day fasts, getting to the end of it, looking like a hunger striker, I'm going to be quite clear, honestly. And I'm going, somebody tell, that's a local joke, but that's what it was like. Like they walked out of the H blocks, and I'm going, tell me again how this brings honor to Jesus. Oh, I got through it. I did the Daniel fast. All they needed was a flipping blanket thrown around them. And I'm going, but you know what I mean? Listen to me. If you want to fast, that's brilliant. Do it if the Lord asks you to do it for whatever reason. But if there's anything in you that goes, I'm doing this and therefore God's going to move, think again, obsolete, no longer fit for purpose. Put the cross of Jesus over the whole idea and tell me what grace says. Right? Like, if you want, we'll do a month's fasting if you want. No. What about a month of Jesus? What? Penny's going, aye, big lad, you probably should do it. 6 months fasting, is that what you're saying? 6 months fasting, do you rightly? Get your jaws wired. What I'm trying to say is this. The Spirit, see, in that kind of thinking, what we think is that the Lord somehow, the Holy Spirit in those moments, when he responds to your effort to get closer to God, will bless that effort because you starved yourself. And I go, if that's what it takes, then we don't need Jesus. We need grace alone. Put the cross of Christ over any bit of the Bible, any principle, any idea, and tell me what grace says. Because the truth is grace. The law came through a servant, but grace and truth came through the Son. John 1:17. I would much rather spend my moments exchanging my anxiety, not creating anxiety in myself, because like I get the shakes and all. It's like that film, what's that kid's film, where everyone turns into a steak? Madagascar, you know the lion? Everyone turns into a steak. They want to eat them. I tell you, we had an end of fast. I'll tell you this here. Just to tell you how crazy it is. I remember it was the Ulster Hall. It was the end of a fast back in the day. And I had been fantasizing about a chicken breast sandwich with mayonnaise and salt on plain bread, right? Like literally from the Wednesday morning. So I made myself one, right? And I packed it. I remember packing it up, right? For the Friday night, going, thank you, Jesus, this flipping fast over. And I'm going to, like, as soon as whoever declares, you're now holy, I'm going to munch this thing like that. But I remember the sandwich didn't make it through the first two praise songs. I was eating it out of my pocket, you know, like that there. Going, oh, Jesus. So in the middle of it, I'll go, I'm so sorry, but I'm starving. True. Going, oh. People looking at you, and I'm going, thank you, Lord. Bits of mayonnaise in the circle. The whole time, here's the bonkers thing. I got to the end of the week of prayer and fasting and felt like a complete failure because he ate my chicken sandwich before the worship was over. How mental is that, folks? How crazy? Anyone want to say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, that the law is obsolete for us. And so the Holy Spirit is never going to minister to you anything other than Jesus and what he's done for you. Keep laying over the work of Christ onto your life. And in that moment, accept nothing other than Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and what he says. And you will know that you are being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I have more to say, but I'm going to knock it off there. I've only have like 2 pages to go. Is that helpful? Amen. Why stand to your feet then? Hope you enjoyed that online. Can I have some communion? I guess this this morning was all about reminding ourselves that it's about the ministry of grace in your life is to make Jesus bigger. Listen to this. It's when it's all about you and what you've done, the burden for everything is on your shoulders. But you've got a much better covenant than that, much better promises. And I want you this week to go, the moments where I connect with the Lord are moments where Jesus will become bigger His promise will become bigger than me or what I'm doing. Can I tell you something? The Lord's not angry with you. He's not disappointed. He's not upset. He's not in any way holding one thing against you right now. He's not holding back his blessing. He's not holding back his promise. He's not holding back his truth. He simply looks at you today and says, I want you to know that when you lean into me, you'll know it's me because I show you Jesus and his promise. Against how you might feel, against what the world may say, against religious wisdom, against religious training and tradition, against all of those, you will have life. You'll have hope. You might go, this is far too good to be true, because it really is. It's scandalous the way he loves you. His grace is scandalous. To think that every second of every day, he looks at us not through the lens of anything of what we're doing, but who he has transformed you into. The image of Jesus himself in holiness and righteousness. That's a scandal. And so this week, exchange your anxiety, your worry, your fear, your sickness, and your lack, and receive his life instead. And Holy Spirit, I pray you administer that to our hearts today. Lord, thank you for your body broken. Thank you, Jesus, for this bread, Lord, that reminds us that it's by your stripes that we are healed. And I speak life and health and healing over every mind, over every body in this place, everyone under the sound of my voice online, wherever you are in the world right now, the Spirit of the Lord is ministering his wholeness and his peace to you. He's ministering his healing to you. And so we eat and we say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Father, we take the cup this morning. And we say, Father, thank you for your blood poured out that makes us righteous. Righteous means totally acceptable to you, Lord. Father, all the weight and demand of law and legalism and performance would crush us, would be too much for us to bear. But Father, we thank you in taking this cup this morning that you show us the covenant that we're under. The covenant is based on your promise and your action, not on ours. It's on your declaration that we are righteous that we stand, Lord, and not on who we think we are. Father, we thank you for your promise that says that this is irrevocable. It cannot be changed. Jesus, whenever you changed us, you perfected us forever. Your word says that, Lord, in Hebrews. It says, by one sin, one sacrifice for sins forever, you sat down, right? And you perfected us forever. Notice, church, it doesn't say he perfected you until the next time that you mess it up. It's not what the word says. He says he perfected you forever. Into all eternity. The word there is aeon. It just means for the age and the ages to come. And that's the work that he did, all because of this cup. And so we remember that at the start of this week, Lord. As we head into this week, I thank you, Father, for that truth. And because we're righteous, because we're acceptable to you, Lord, we can have full assurance of faith this week. Lord, declaring from a place of authority that your grace works well. So we drink in Jesus' name. What we're going to do, we're going to finish actually, because we're on time. Just let me pray for you. Well, one of the things we encourage you is to give and to give generously. And so thank you for those people who give faithfully. We believe in tithes and offerings in this church. You'll probably see online, if you're watching online, the ways that you can do that and take part. The world would have you believe that it's your responsibility to look after yourself and to provide. I believe that when grace comes, the Lord says, well, shows us how to access and live in the provision of the work of Jesus. And so one of the things he says is giving is an indication of our heart attitude to the Lord, that we really trust him. Actually, the Lord says, you trust me in the least, because money to the Lord is the least. He says, let's not worry about the least and miss the bigger picture, which is my work in your life. And so we give because we say to the Lord, we trust you. Lord, for your supernatural provision, for some of us, for supernatural breakthrough, we refuse to allow a foothold of fear into our hearts and our lives over something which Jesus has explicitly said he has already taken care of. We're not going to buy into the lie that it's on our shoulders and our responsibility. But Lord, we're going to be generous and give and sow into your work of grace so that men, women, and children here and beyond can connect with you and this promise of truth and grace in their lives. So Father, we give and we give generously. At the back, if you're here in the building today, at the back door, you're able to give on your way out. Let me pray over you before we're finished. Hope you're encouraged. Are you encouraged this morning?
Yeah.
That been good?
Yeah.
He's a minister of the covenant of God's grace. I pray over you, church, in Jesus' name. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened this week, that your heart would be encouraged and built up as Jesus shows you through his Holy Spirit in you the length, the breadth, and the depth, and the height of his love for you. I pray that in your, even as you overlay the work of grace into every situation that you face, you would see promise upon promise written there for you already. I pray that in those moments, that the Spirit of the Lord would remind you to lean into grace. What does grace say? And I pray this week for breakthrough. I pray for fresh encouragement. I pray for fresh health, for fresh healing. I pray for fresh hope over you. I say that your best days are right now and still to come. Amen. I pray a freshness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life this week in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So listen, thank you for coming. Thank you for watching online. There's tea and coffee in the coffee lounge.